If the Lord may be pleased to help me, I seek to direct your attention to the 86th Psalm and reading verse 17. The 86th Psalm, verse 17. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast opened me and comforted me. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast opened me and comforted me. We can't tear such beautiful verses as this out of Scripture and isolate it from the rest, for it is all part of the same teaching and leading of the Holy Spirit. But as the psalmist here confesses in the first verse, thy goodness is goodness and mercy, for he says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Yet as we go through this psalm, we find that the Lord has been wonderfully favoured towards this good man, and yet he's still asking for a token for good. Friend, undoubtedly he is looking backward, and he speaks in the past tense, but he is also recognised that he is faced with another day. And as we have been singing, we are faced with another year, and what that year might bring unto us, we little know. We may know that we hope indeed that the Lord will be with us through another year, and whatever events might come upon us in this year, we might not in any way whatsoever isolate ourselves from him, but rather still cling and cleave to him. It shows to us this: we need God's grace to go in the right way and not the wrong way. And how do we know the way of the Lord and what is right and what is wrong? Surely there must be a gracious inquiry at the throne of grace. How often that word has come with power upon me. My thoughts are not your thoughts, or my ways. Excuse me. Because God's ways and thoughts are higher than our ways. And therefore what we might fear is determined against us, and a proof that all our religion of the past is false might prove to be. It is love and kindness. He's still overruling everything, as he has overruled the salvation of his people, so he will overrule the way in which they walk and live, lest Satan should come in and take us away from those things that really, really matter. Show me a token for good. What thou art doing with me, what thou art saying to me, is the work of the Lord and not of the devil. Though the devil makes his presence known and felt by fierce temptations, yes, doubts and fears, which some might call the work of grace, but that is not so, is it? We can never, never be justified by doubts and fears. But Lord, we do need to be delivered from our doubts and fears. What a token for good. When the Lord comes and speaks unto us and delivers us from our doubts and fears. You know, when those dear disciples were in the midst of the sea, and the sea roared and the wind blew, and everything was tempestuous there, and they were sore afraid. When he rose up and rebuked the winds and waves, they didn't say, "Lord, don't do that, don't do that. I'd rather live my doubts and fears." No, my friends, it was not a choice. They said, cried out, "Lord, help us. Save us, Lord. We perish." And when he did rise and rebuke the winds and waves, we read this, and there was a great calm. There was a great calm. And the hymn writer, it puts it like this: "Why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus holds the helm and guides the ship, sent to waft us through the deep. Oh, show me some token for good." The Lord might present unto us a great opportunity in life, a prosperous opportunity. But I say, how we need the Lord to guide and to direct our way. I say, show me some token for good, that this appointment, this way, is not a carnal reasoning or carnal policy. But I say it is the grace of God showing us the way. And you hear his voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." If Christ be there, friends, it can't be wrong. But if Christ is not there, then it must be, can it be right? Can you ask the Lord's blessing upon the way that you take in this coming year? I say, how we often thought of that good man. One of the old divines who was very popular with the rich. And after dinner one night, they said, "Will you have a game of cards with us?" He said, "Oh yes, I'll have a hand," to their amazement. And when they had all been handed their cards, he said, "Well, we must ask the Lord blessing upon this game." They said, "You can't ask the Lord's blessing upon a game of cards." He said, "In that case, I can't play these cards with you." And so the cards were gathered up, and he shone in his conduct with them, that he would not be found in carnal pleasures, though they had been gentle and kind to him. Oh, friends, show me some token for good, that the grace of God, that by his grace you stand, and by his grace you live. By his grace indeed, you can only endure, and by his grace you can only answer the wicked in their pursuits. Show me some token, Lord, for good. Fearing, troubled much with regard to the way before us, can it be right? Will the Lord indeed approve of it? Or shall I miss some fine opportunity? My mind always turns, you know, to Lot, Abraham's nephew, when the situation became so prosperous that they had to part company because there was not enough food for the flocks. What a trial that was. And yet you see, gracious Abraham. He gave to Lot the company. He gave to him the choice of what he should do. And as a businessman, I suppose he said, well, something's got to be done, so I'll go in the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. My friends, we make no mention that he ever inquired of the Lord to show him some token for good. And therefore I say, what a disaster and his family. Oh, I say, how we need to be given grace to inquire of the Lord to show us some token for good. Yea, men might say to us, oh yes, but you've been foolish, you've missed out a good business proposition, and so on. Friend, it's no good business proposition if it's coupled with evil practices, yes, of sodomites, as we might well call them today. And alas, how many there are about, and oh, what power they seem to wield. I say, show us some token for good. We pray to the Lord, most honestly, and I hope you will too, that these people might lose the power they seem to wield at this time, when such a very, very small proportion of the population follow them. Yet they seem to wield such power. And even that wicked man, Peter Tatchell, he seems to go on and on from strength to strength. And how he mocks the true Christians who believe that they should carry on, yes, as the Bible says. But I was most impressed this week to hear above all people the Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. William Say, that the best thing for the Christians and the nation is to use the Old Testament and the New Testament in the King James Version of the Bible. Is there such instruction and such direction in every matter in life? I couldn't really believe I was hearing it from his lips. And I said in my heart, Lord, let him say it again. And so he did. Why, who can tell? Even that such a man as Dr. Williams, who lowered himself to go down to Stonehenge and worship with the Druids. I say, show us, Lord, some token for good, that thy anger might be turned away from this nation, though we may seem to be in the front line minority. Oh, we need some token for good, that we might be comforted and strengthened. Oh, what a token for good. We bear in mind that man who stood in the field of lintels, who fought against the Philistines single-handed. Oh yes, the single-handed, until others came and joined him, and the Lord gave them success, and more came and joined them, and the Philistines were overthrown. Show me some token for good. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said, and take the sword, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And oh, I say, what a token for good that is when God's Word is opened up to us. Not some revised version, not some mongrel version, oh, that suits all comers to practice their own sins. But no, the sword of the Spirit. I say, I say that David said when he went into the temple and asked for a sword, he said, the only sword we have here is the sword of Goliath. And he said, give it me, there's nothing like it. Why, he knew that there was nothing like the sword of Goliath that he used himself to cut the tyrant's head off. What a token for good that must have been to David, but how much more so, oh, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, my friend. And in the Revelation, we read of it as being a two-edged sword. And that sword proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord Most High. Will we fall out with the word of the Lord? Will we disagree with that? But who can stand against the sword of the Spirit? My friend, it is whatever way it's used by the Almighty. It is sharp and swift and quick as any two-edged sword, isn't it? Oh, what a token for God. That God's word has come to pass. He stood above the whole matter and he's brought it forth. It shows to us this, that he'll ever take care and watch over his dear people. Oh, I say, show me some token for God. How soon we're apt to sink down to bedrock bottom. And oh, we cry out, can ever God well hear? Is it real? Is it true? That I have been compelled to confess the Lord Jesus Christ? My friend, oh, to know that the Lord does love us, a token for good, another smile from him, another glimpse, I say, of the blessed Saviour dying in the sinner's place. Oh, the hymn writer says, sweet the moments, rich in blessing, where before the cross I stand. I say, show me some token for good, that those moments, my friend, yes, are blessed to his people. And I say, God has a promise concerning those moments. He has said this, I will see you again, again. I say, what a token for good. What a proof to us that what we have received is given to us eternally. It is given to us of his free and sovereign grace. A token for God. How Satan loves to suggest and imply that you will not find prosperity in the love of Christ unless you do something for yourself. Friends, salvation is free. There's nothing to pay. Oh yes. And that's what I love indeed, the contention that wins every argument over Arminianism and free and sovereign grace. See, the Arminianists believe that we have to do what we can for our salvation. As one person said to me, he was a preacher, that they believed in free and sovereign grace, but we've got to do what we can for ourselves. Well, just one sentence contradicts the other, doesn't it? We can't add anything to his free and sovereign grace. Nothing is required. All is paid by him. And as Paul said, and ye are complete in him, a token for God. When we see how worthless how poor we are, when we see how wretched and undone we are, to see the depths of sin that we are indebted to him for, and to see that all was paid for him, and that still is nothing to pay. Such a love, I say, that arises out of this, a desire, yea, to continue in that way. Although we have no righteousness of our own, oh, to be complete in him. For friends, if we're like the Arminians, who believe that we must do a certain amount ourselves, if not everything, then we are not complete in him, and thus we are exposed completely to the law of God, his wrath, his anger. But no, the poor sinner is complete in him. He's done everything for us. Oh, I say, in other words, this poor soul is completely dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And the old man of sin, our flesh, it doesn't like dependent upon another. We like our own independence. I say, what a need we stand in of a token for good, that he has provided everything for us and done everything, and spared us from the eternal wrath of God in spite of what sinners we have been in the past. The sovereign grace of God will make us realize we're not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. Yes, what a snare in religion. Yea, to think there's something good in ourselves. Because perhaps the Lord dealt with us in early years. Because the Lord dealt with us in bringing us as a brand from the burning. My friend, oh, it is the devil that makes these things a snare. Oh, some token for good, that the devil, my friends, may be driven far from us, that we might be brought to praise his name for what he has done in us and for us, and has said to the great enemy of souls, thus far and no further. Still safe in the dear Redeemer's hands. Those words are very precious to me. They seem to be the plank of the preaching of the gospel. All that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. And he said, I give. What does he give? My friend, I give unto my sheep eternal life. I say, how wonderful that is. We all know what life is, and it comes to an end. But here's a life that he gives that will never, never come to an end. Sinner, if the Lord has given to you eternal life, that will be the only thing that you'll take out of this world. Everything will and must be left behind. I say, what a wonder that is. Oh, that token for good, that though we may prove to feel so unsteadfast ourselves, but Jesus is steadfast, is he not? Oh, some token for good. Lord, give me that grace to be like dear Ruth the Moabitess, who was steadfastly minded. She could not, she would not turn back. She had a love to the Lord. She had a love to Naomi. She had a love to the Lord's people. And so it caused her to vow, oh, there will I be and there will I stay, numbered with the Lord's people. Show me some token for God. Has there been told things about this people that are completely untrue? Completely untrue. Yes, a token for good can only put things right. I shall never forget in my early days in the ministry that I went to what they called the Tunbridge Wells Ministers Meetings, and it seemed to start on the right note, but then more and more types of people were introduced to the meeting. And one day they invited Mr. Ramsbottom to attend the meeting and address the meeting. And I heard that many were quite happy to have a discussion about things that are nothing but controversy, and I thought I'd be interested in this. But when we got to the meeting, and I believe I prayed that, Lord, show me some token for good, where these people stand and what those people stand for. Well, the dear man of God, Mr. Ramsbottom, he spoke excellent words that day, and he seemed to be such a good spirit. But the others, I say, they were of a sad spirit, which infuriated me. I was angry about the matter. They could be so rude and so aggressive. It completely changed my mind and my attitude with regard to the gospel. And I had to say, let this people be my people. And I never went amongst those people again. Show us, Lord, some token for good that even those things were right. Oh, I say, we do need it to be guided and directed. Because some men, they have the tongue of persuasion, haven't they? They have that gilded voice. How they are apt to flatter us. Yes, and to absorb things spoken against the righteous. Show me some token, Lord, for good, that I might surely see what is right and what is wrong. Sad to say, do we not know it and find it more and more? Oh, that Zion is sometimes damaged much by the lying tongue and the sinful speakers. Oh, let us not be mistaken or misled, or trust in our own wisdom and understanding. But I say, let us go to the Lord, to the root bottom of the matter, and say, show me some token for good. I say, why should we be an adversary to those who are the Lord's people? You know, good poor Saul, rather, of Tarsus, he really thought he was a religious man. And he was doing well, but he was not doing well, was he? And when the Lord dealt with him, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? How can it be that we are persecuting someone we know nothing about? But that was the case with Saul. And it is the case, can be the case with us. Show me some token, Lord, for good, that I do not judge and assess men on their face value, and neither have we reason or cause so to do. For the Lord has told us most clearly, yes, that we are not another place to a right to judge another, but by a man's works, by his fruits, are his works known. How true that is. Show me some token for good. The Jews, they hated Samaritans en bloc, every one of them. And those Pharisees, they thought well of themselves. So Jesus put that parable for them, for you and for me, and spoke about the man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Don't let us forget, don't let us forget the purpose of the parable. The purpose of the parable was this: who is my neighbour? And when it came to it, it was the Samaritan that proved beyond all doubt was the neighbour to the man that fell among thieves. Why, the Pharisee and the Levite, they walked by on the other side. They had nothing for him. A little while ago, I was a conversation about a certain person who had gone out to preach, and one man amongst them didn't say anything. I said, "What are your real feelings in the matter? Have you any?" He sat and thought for a while and said, "Well, he didn't come my way. The others didn't go the way of the Good Samaritan, did they? He came where they was." I say, what teaching I felt to be in that. He was, first of all, he was discreet. He didn't speak against anybody. And really, it's no good speaking against people. But rather, if you haven't got nothing good to say of them, say nothing at all. I shall never forget Mr. Stanley Dulles saying that to me. And I had somebody to bury, who I felt no union to whatsoever. In this way, he said, "Raymond," he said, "I've got something to say to you. If you can't say anything good about the deceased, don't say anything bad. It's best to leave the whole matter alone." And I say, what sense there is in that? But after all, the God of the whole world, will he not do it right? I'm sure he will. He doesn't, not in need for us. Even at the time of a sad occasion where we find a funeral before us like that, surely the token for good is to preach the gospel, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I say, oh, for the Lord might show some token for good, being guided and directed in situations that are most difficult and trying. But the Lord, my friend, is always right, and he rules in such a way. Oh, how we need the token for good, that we might walk in his ways and his commandments. We might think indeed ahead of us and think that we may be using some strategy to block and prevent a person from doing a certain thing, spilling out our own retaliation upon a person who's done wrong against a friend or neighbour. Friend, pray for your enemies and those that despitefully use you. A token for good, that the Lord might come and put a right spirit within our heart. I say, what a haven, I say, our hearts by nature are for a wrong spirit. Yes, a really wrong spirit. I say, the Lord does go before us and teach us. I shall never forget on one occasion, I was given a letter, a horrid letter, an untrue letter, and it didn't bring the best out in me one little bit. I sat down and wrote a letter to her, and after I had written it, I gave it to my wife to read. She said, well, that's an excellent letter you've written. You've covered all the points. Now, if you take my advice, you'd pop it on the fire right now. I was horrified at the thought. She said, because there's no love or kindness in it. And friends, you know, that's exactly what I had to do. I felt utterly ashamed of myself that I could speak and write in the same spirit as I was written to. Oh, show me some token, Lord, for good. And I say, what a token it is for good when some kind soul has sent a letter to us anonymously with some financial help in it, and we've had to say, I accept your letter and the content in the spirit that it was sent in. Friend, what a token for good that is, to find a kindred spirit, not because they keep giving us something, but rather because there is a love there, a unity in Christ Jesus. And knowing this, if the situation was reversed, we'd be happy to do the same. Oh, that the Lord might take away from us those mean and selfish tactics to return unto ourselves more than we ought. Oh, show me some token for good. As one good person told me, I tell you who it was. It was Mr. Ashby that used to attend here. I believe his name was Ken Ashby. And he said to me one day, you know, you need as much grace to be rich as you do to be poor. And that really caused me to think. That's all he said. Those of you who knew him, he was a man of few words. But I say, what a loving spirit that is, imparted to us. I say, for Jesus Christ, though he was rich, richer than all, yet he became poor for our sakes. Oh, I say, what grace abounded in the Holy Son of God, that he was willing and ready to give and to surrender all things, that his dear people may be saved from their sins. All sufficient grace, all sufficient love, all sufficient atoning blood to purge away all our sins. What a token for good. And oh, how unreasonable it is us if we think that it is not right for us to be kind or generous to other people. We need, friends, much grace, do we? Whatever our substance are, oh, to walk humbly in his sight. I say, give me some token for good. I shall never forget when going to see at the pastor about getting married. This is what he said to us. Look, he said, Ruth and Raymond, he said, you have got a home to go to. It may not be a palace, but it may be a palace to someone else if you show love and charity to them when they are in need. Friends, a token for good. And thus, oh, when we've done what we could, not always, friends, but sometimes, oh, to find the Lord's richest blessing, smiling upon those small articles of charity. Friend, inasmuch. Oh, I often think of those words. Inasmuch as he would have it done unto you, so do it unto them. Inasmuch as Christ has suffered for your sake, should we not also be willing to give and to surrender for the sake of others? Friend, a token for good. change from the spirit of being on the grab and take, rather change in the spirit of Christ, to suffer and to endure all things for his dear sake. Oh, show me some token for God. We won't always be patronized by others. We won't always be admired by others at all. But rather, we may have scorn and derision poured upon us. But oh, for the answer of a good conscience before the Lord. That is a token for God. The arguments may cease there. The arguments might end. We shall cease, better to cease from arguing, to refrain from objecting to it, but pursuing the way that the Lord teaches us and shows us wherein we shall walk. Oh, show me some token for God. Why, good Moses, he chose with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That was a token for good friends. The man was completely altered and turned round. And more than that, he was fitted in these times for what the Lord had in waiting for him to do. Oh, I say, some token for God. How good it is when we can look back and say, all the way the Lord has led me and kept me by his tender care. I say, what a mercy that is. The Lord has done it in us and for us. And looking forward, oh, some token for good, that when my days are finished here below, I shall be forever with the Lord. And seek for that grace to say, amen, so let it be. Oh, what a token for good that is. That our days, that as our days, so shall our strength be. Proven beyond all doubt, so are our shoes as iron and brass. Friend, continuing in the way of God. A token for good, that I shall not be left to turn back and forsake everything. Can it be? Well, friend, I had some friends in Wiltshire, and I really enjoyed their company. We sat up late at night talking of the better things of God. And all of a sudden, I realised that things had changed. A different wind of teaching blew. And oh, it wasn't long before the change was realised to me that they'd gone charismatic in a most absurd sort of way, whereby I could have no part or lot with them. But what effect it had upon me was this. Oh, not that I am so much better than they, but Lord keep me. Lord keep me. If such people seem to show such grace in their life, what hope is there for me if Satan comes and lays hold on me? Show me a token for good that I am safe in thy hands. That is it, isn't it? Jesus has said, and none shall pluck them out of my hand. How in need the Lord, oh, to give us this word, that none shall pluck us out of his hand. Safety and security is not of self, but is of Jesus Christ. For it is his precious blood alone that can cleanse us from all sin and atone for us. It is his precious blood alone that can bring us home to glory, washed and without a spot. What a token for good. That the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, to be kept there, friends. we may not be seen or noticed about of men. That doesn't matter one little bit. But I say to be known and seen of Jesus, God Almighty, to have the answer of a good conscience, that whatever we do by his all-given help and grace, to honour and to praise him, and to speak well of him to all men. Amen.